Warning, warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in Your Life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today is October 20th. 2014, we have, 17 years ago last week, we sent Doug McBurney on his first assignment.
Yeah, that was exciting.
You remember that, Doug?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
It was the execution of Gary Davis.
That's right.
And he was the last person executed in Colorado
now,
through official channels.
Well,
there have
right.
been all kinds of people.
I was
going to
say, now
killed.
That's 17 years ago, but there have been other murders and there have been other convictions for murder since then.
Yeah. But of course, we need, God said in the Bible that if you have the swift death penalty, then you won't have a crime epidemic. But we don't have a swift death penalty and we do have a crime epidemic.
Indeed.
But Doug, Leslie Hanks, one of our dear friends, president of American Right to Life, here in the Denver area, she was going through some old papers and gave me a copy this week of a handwritten letter from death row from Gary Davis.
Really?
To one of Leslie's friends who was involved as a Christian and wrote the judge asking for a swift execution for Gary Davis.
Wow.
So I think one of the things we could do is quote from this letter. Maybe we should post it at kgov.com. I've got a scan of it here.
Oh, yeah, we should scan that.
So, but he wrote on the outside of the letter, he wrote to, and we won't say who the woman is who wrote the original letter to the judge, to Judge Phillips, but her name, we'll call her Kathy.
Okay.
But he wrote on the outside of his letter to Kathy, "Bet you never thought your letter to the judge would ever be found."
Wow.
With a smiley face.
Man, that would be creepy to get that from a murderer.
From a murderer. This guy, you recall his crime?
If I remember correctly, he kidnapped a neighbor, female.
Virginia May,
in front of her children and him and a friend, and they raped her and shot her multiple times, murdered her in 86, I think.
Yeah, way back when. And you had just started working with Bob and Yart Live.
Yeah, so 97. I started working for Bob and Yart Live in September of 97.
And then he was executed in October.
In October. I was swiftly sent out on assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So at any rate, we need to quote somewhat from that letter, but what else do we want to cover?
Well, we've got some news from Houston. Lesbian mayor Anise Parker made some news this past. Remember, we talked about her last week.
Well, we said that we should send our sermons.
Well, yeah, she had subpoenaed, or at least her city attorneys had subpoenaed sermons from
five pastors.
Right.
And so we thought, just like when the news came out that the NSA was reading our email,
right.
And we said at Denver Bible Church, we said, you know, if the government is actually reading our emails, there's hope for this country.
Absolutely. And
if they're reading our emails.
Right.
Because our emails, I think, deserve to be read.
Indeed. And people in government need to be reading
them. And the nuggets of wisdom and the biblical strategy in these emails for fixing what is wrong with, you know, fill in the blank, yourself, your family,
your business, yeah,
your neighborhood, your nation, the world. But at any rate, so she subpoenaed their sermons. So we thought, well, we'll send her our sermons from Denver Bible Church.
Exactly. Well, we've already got in the mail to Anise Parker. We've already got not only Terry's Call,
a DVD on converting a homosexual.
Right.
But also a sermon titled Don't Be a Homosexual from Denver Bible Church.
We've got your actual sermon notes and a DVD of Terry's Call already in the mail to Anise Parker.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that because there's been some additional news made on that. We also want to talk about the Girl Scouts, a little bit about Ebola, and a little bit about, as if you hadn't heard enough about Ebola already. It'll be very little.
Well, we came out last week on the air, if you recall, saying that we're against it.
We're against it, And I think our position hasn't changed. We still stand firmly against.
Yeah, against the Ebola epidemic.
The
Doug,
Ebola outbreak.
Somebody asked me. Our kids listen to that show.
Oh, really?
And we got, you asked me, Bob, what do you think about the Ebola epidemic?
Right.
And I said, well, I'm against it. And you agreed, and we moved on to other
Absolutely.
News. And my boys heard that show, and they were cracking up, and they got it immediately. But a lot of people didn't get it, Doug.
Well,
I don't know a lot, but some people said, what was your point? And the point was, we didn't want to add our voices to the cacophony of shrieking, shrilling, screaming over this tragedy, a disaster, a health issue. And, I mean, wall-to-wall coverage on the news.
Every show, every minute of every show.
Right. And if George W. Bush had been in office when this happened, the roles would simply be reversed.
Right.
It would be MSNBC and CNN screaming from the rafters about how incompetent the government is, the Bush administration.
Oh, absolutely.
And it would be Fox News and all the talking heads minimizing the problems.
Yeah.
And saying, look, there's only been a few people with the infection here in the U.S.
Right, right. And I think I've noted that it's the perfect storm, especially during an election year, because the Republicans can use it to attack Obama. And the Democrats can use it to whip up that crisis that the Godfather in Chicago is so famous for saying, never waste a crisis.
Right. So never let a good crisis go to waste.
That's it. And so both sides, it's perfect for both of them. And everyone has bought in. Everyone from Rush Limbaugh on down. Limbaugh sits at the top, of course, of the media feeding chain, food chain.
Yeah.
Everyone follow, and Matt Drudge. And they've all bought in 100%, and I think they're being manipulated, and they don't even realize
to where they actually could report almost 100% of their broadcasts could be on Ebola.
It has been.
Almost.
On several occasions.
Ebola is horrific because of the death rate.
Have you seen the computer animation of that virus?
No.
It is impressive.
Wow.
It is an impressive virus.
Mm.
It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's... You know, I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, with a death rate average around 50%.
Yeah.
It is horrific, of course. But
we stand against it, now there is some good news in the Ebola. I just want to get to this story since we've talked about it. There's a little bit of good news associated with the Ebola outbreak, and the good thing is that it doesn't involve anyone getting sick. But apparently in New Jersey, there are a number of kids who recently moved from East African countries who intended to attend public school there in New Jersey, and this has caused a number of parents, including the parents of these African students, to keep them home from the government school.
So the silver lining
is some kids are not attending.
If it saves one life, it's worth it. You know, that's a liberal mantra.
Right.
If it saves one life, it's worth it.
Yeah.
So if people are keeping their kids out of the government schools, the public schools,
right,
the godless government schools,
it's
not worth it, actually. But it's tremendous.
It's really not worth it, but you got to take where you can get. Now, some of these parents are keeping their children home even past the 21-day waiting period. And we're hoping maybe some of these parents, these hapless parents, will realize that with just a minimal amount of work, they could actually educate their little kids at home. These are second and third graders. Mm. I mean, how hard is it to educate a second grader?
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It gets hard once they're in ninth grade, though, by the way. I want to let you know. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. My daughter is doing math now that I never got past in high school. So we've had to turn her over to a professional video teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't handle it.
Yeah, and there's so many avenues, so many opportunities.
Oh, it's amazing.
You could, just whether it's typical textbook workbook that you use at home, or your computer-based curriculum, or the online interactive where your kid uses the computer, but he has a question, and he could call the teacher.
It's awesome.
And get one-on-one help, sit in on classes. It's all astounding.
Yeah, and so my daughter, her science instructor, is a PhD. it's not some girl who just got her education credential from CU and is doing beer bongs on the weekend and teaching science in the government school. Yeah. It's awesome.
Doug, at Manchester Regional High School in New Jersey, I attended for 4 years, the lost years of my life. One teacher, young guy, just out of college, all he wanted to do was flirt with, or worse, the girls in the class.
Shocking. I find that hard to believe.
Another guy, a choir director, all he wanted to do was similar, but with the guys in the class, literally.
Wow.
And 4 of my classmates died of AIDS over the next few years, and so did he. His name was Tom DeSerbo.
You came from a much more liberal school district than I did, because our band director, he impregnated a female cheerleader, and he had to leave town.
So he was old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Sin.
For government schools.
Yeah, but in New Jersey, things had progressed.
But
That's awful.
All a crisis. But so we had this one teacher, and he said, hey, you don't have to do any work. When it comes time for the test, I'll write the answers on the board. And all he did was flirt with the girls in the class. That was it.
Well, that would be expected if he's a young man, and now he's surrounded by attractive young women. What do we think's going to happen?
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
And things have only gotten worse since the 70s.
Oh, I'm sure. That one good news, one bit of good news tied to the Ebola outbreak, and nobody got sick.
Yeah.
I really want to hear, connect me with my past. I want to hear this letter from Gary Davis, because it's creeping me out.
Yeah, it is creepy that Leslie Hanks, president of American Right to Life, she's been an activist. An activist is a Christian who's has courage.
Yes.
A Christian who's bold. The Bible says, Jesus, God says, we're to be bold. So a Christian who opens their mouth and tries to be an influence on the destruction around them. So that's an activist, I guess.
Yeah.
So Leslie Hanks is an activist. And so her friend Kathy had written a letter to Judge Phillips, who was overseeing the case. And it turns out that Gary Davis, on death row, gets a copy of his file and writes Kathy handwritten, death row inmate. And so here this is from, okay, so here it is. I'll just read parts of it. Kathy, I was very excited to read, and by the way, all the misspellings, I'll just correct that as I read it.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
No need to. He apparently was a public school.
Obviously a product of, yeah.
Student.
Not surprising.
The gross national product,
yeah.
It's called. The graduating class every year. Okay, so this is from Gary Davis to Leslie Hanks' friend Kathy. I was very excited to read your letter to Judge Phillips. Most of our mail comes from those bleeding heart Christians. Now, this is sarcasm, extreme anger. Very seldom do we hear from you Satan lovers. So Kathy is a Christian who is advocating the swift death penalty as Jesus, as God calls for in the Bible.
Right.
And if you Google God and the death penalty, our article should be number one out of millions.
Yes, we're firmly ensconced.
Yeah. And so he's mocking her in sarcasm. Very seldom do we hear from you Satan lovers. I get so excited when I read letters from you people that want to murder someone for murdering someone.
Okay.
So he's confusing kidnapping, raping, and killing a woman in front of her children with the just execution of a convicted capital criminal. He's confusing those.
Yes.
It's rather convenient, right?
Yeah.
A moral equivalency.
He sounds like
scam.
A lot of Christians I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get a little confused.
Right. Because they don't study the Bible. If you look at our article, God and the Death Penalty, you find out that the New Testament is filled with advocacy for the death penalty.
Amen.
From Jesus, from the apostles, and a number of the epistles, a number
you
of the gospels.
You go to the gospels, to the epistles, you name
the
it.
Book
throughout,
of Acts.
All the way to Revelation.
All the way to Revelation. So forget the Old Testament. Oh, don't quote me on that.
You don't have to forget the Old
forget
Testament.
When Jesus quoted from the Bible, it was only from the Old Testament.
As a matter of fact.
But of course, the Old Testament supports the death penalty. So does the New Testament, replete throughout.
Yeah.
So at any rate, but a lot of Christian leaders don't know that. You know, who can say why?
Well, maybe they know it, but they, for some reason, they don't have the courage to say it in public. They don't seem to know it. They're not like Leslie Hanks. They don't have courage.
They don't, or Kathy. They don't seem to know it. So anyway, he said, you people that want to,
okay,
no misuse of it.
All right.
We need a...
Let's not beat him up on the grammar. He's a murderer. There's lots of other...
We need a relative pronoun in there. Something.
Yeah.
But, from you people that want to... there's so many errors in every sentence, but from you people that want to murder someone for murdering someone. Those people who believe in the Bible always want to forgive someone. See, he's mocking them too.
Yeah.
Right? Normally I hear from those bleeding heart Christians who want to forgive. And then he says, I thank the devil that people like you live in Colorado. Just think, if it wasn't for, it should be if it weren't for, but if it wasn't for your kind, Jesus would never have been executed.
Huh? So, I'm not following.
Yeah, the people who put Jesus to death were those who killed the innocent.
Right.
For their own wicked purposes.
Yeah, similar to Gary Davis.
Yeah. So how funny you must think that is, Kathy. Then he goes on, do like Judge Phillips said and write your lawmakers and see if Colorado will execute people like China does more swiftly.
Uh-huh.
That's what we need in this country. Who cares if a person is innocent? So there's, of course, he doesn't make his case that he's innocent because it was overwhelmingly obvious he's guilty.
Right.
And probably right now in hell, Gary Davis probably is maintaining that he was not guilty. Probably.
Even though he's listening to this show.
And on Judgment Day, probably when God himself, and in fact, Kathy will stand there judging Gary Davis on Judgment Day.
She will.
For the veiled threat. You know, it's sort of a veiled threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially to a woman from, you're on death row.
Right.
For murder, rape and murder. And you write with a creepy smiley face, bet you never thought your letter to the judge would ever be found.
Wow.
Like be found by him.
Now, you just brushed alongside a very profound idea that on Judgment Day itself, Gary Davis will maintain his innocence.
I would expect, certainly now in hell while he's awaiting judgment.
Yeah.
And afterward, you know, the problem, the reason there's a hell is because people won't humble themselves before God. That's why there's a hell. And God, if God were to let those people into heaven, they would turn heaven into hell.
Yeah.
So hell is just the name for the place where people live who hate God.
Right.
And so at any rate, and Kathy will be one of those judging Gary Davis, one of those, along with the victims, along with the body of Christ. We will judge the world.
Right.
We.
And nobody is going to go to hell by accident.
No.
Nobody's going to go to hell because they unwittingly did something in their life that they forgot to repent of.
C.S. Lewis wrote an amazing little book, The Great Divorce.
Oh, phenomenal.
And he indicates in it that if people in hell had the opportunity to go to heaven, they'd want to stay in hell. They just wouldn't want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to go to heaven. Mm. So Gary Davis ends his letter here. Let's see. That's what we need in this country. Who cares if a person is innocent?
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to obfuscate his argument against the death penalty, implying that everybody sentenced to death is innocent.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let the Christians find their own country. You people who murder people for murdering people can keep this blood-soaked land.
Wow.
I thank you for putting my name on your satanic hit list to Judge Phillips. Keep your candle burning so the Prince of Darkness can find your doorway.
Okay.
I love you, Gary Davis.
Mm. Wow. Well, now, Kathy and other bold Christians like her did keep their candle burning because they had to keep it burning for a long time because he was convicted in 1987, but he wasn't executed until 1997.
Right, which is an example of why we have a murder epidemic, because God said that you have to execute the sentence against the guilty swiftly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will have a murder epidemic.
Mm. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
Now, but Kathy kept her candle burning, and Bob Enyart Live had a reporter on site the night Gary Davis was executed. We were there interviewing people.
Yeah.
And yeah. So just for the satisfaction of
thank
the Saints.
Thank you for going there, for doing that.
It was awesome. I was so excited. It was my first field dispatch for a major media organization. It was awesome.
And here we are 17 years later.
Yeah.
And Gary Davis has spent his first 17 years in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been listening to the show because from what we understand, one of the requirements in hell
is that you have to listen to Bob Enyart Live.
Listen to Bob Enyart Live daily.
It's piped in.
That's right. Now, speaking of hell, I want to quickly touch on this story about Mayor Anise Parker, the lesbian from Houston. By the way, if people go to my website, theweeklyworldview.com, they can hear the swearing-in ceremony where mega pastor...
I thought that prayer was taken off.
No, no, I found it again. Now, it's only got 1,700 downloads. We were near 100,000. I don't know what happened. But I found it again. I linked to it. You can hear actual audio of... what's that mega pastor's name? It is Joel Osteen actually prayed over Anise Parker's inauguration. Where she's an open lesbian. And apparently... Just to update folks, last week her city attorneys subpoenaed sermons and sermon notes from local pastors who are fighting an ordinance to allow boys to use the girls' room and do all kind of other disgusting things. So we already in the mail, last week you suggested this may be the only way these people ever hear the gospel. We should send them our sermon.
Yeah.
So we've dispatched Terry's call and your sermon notes, Don't Be a Homo.
Right, right. And in fact, I wonder if Huckabee tunes in. You know,
Huckabee,
with the internet,
well, that was
it
what
is possible.
Huckabee has made a call for pastors all over the country to send a deluge of sermons, a veritable flood of sermons.
Doug, do you remember we used to report regularly when we would cover something on the show, and within 24 hours, Rush would report the exact same thing.
Right.
With the same one example I remember is this woman who tried to sue Target or Walmart.
Yeah.
She bought a Pepsi and she put a syringe in it.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
put her
yeah.
on video.
Right, right.
So that broke. So I reported that that somebody had put Pepsi in a syringe. And so Rush goes on that his next broadcast with the same ridiculous little observation.
Okay. So it's obvious what's going on. Limbaugh has a significant staff, research staff, and Fox News has staff members who are constantly
by accident, some of them turning the dial.
There's a couple of them who listen to our show. There's no doubt about it.
It's funny.
And every once in a while,
we should dig up that list of everything we've reported that was then. It was a funny list.
I remember when I first started working for you, you said Rush Limbaugh is right 99.74% of the time.
Yeah.
And we're the ones who document that.
We did the documentation.
What I didn't realize at the time was what you were saying was we point out the 0.25 where Rush is wrong.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Bob Enyart Live was launched advertising for 3 months on Rush Limbaugh's Denver, Colorado broadcast.
Yeah.
A commercial making that exact point. That have you ever wondered who did the documentation? Well, it's us over at Bob Enyart Live.
Yeah.
Tune in.
That was great.
And that ad ran for 3 months on KNUS.
Right.
Advertising for Bob Enyart Live on another station. it was a radio coup, really.
Classic radio stuff. So one of Huckabee's producers has the pleasure not only of listening to the show, but of suggesting things to Huckabee like, hey, let's send sermons, but we're ahead of the curve. Hopefully our sermon will be the first one to land on Anise Parker's desk.
Yeah.
And that she'll actually check it out.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you for giving Anise Parker and her city attorneys perhaps the first glimpse of the gospel they've seen since they got out of grade school.
Yeah. And Doug, and talking about being ahead of the curve, I don't know if you remember there was an attorney in Denver representing a homosexual from KOA who had hepatitis.
Oh, yeah.
Who invited his roommate had hepatitis.
Yeah.
And Mason Lewis at KOA.
Mason Lewis.
Invited his coworkers for a Christmas party to their condo, to their hot tub.
Oh.
And he never told his coworkers that his roommate had hepatitis.
That's gross.
From being a homosexual. So we broke the story on the air.
Yeah.
And we get a letter from Mason Lewis's attorney. His name was Hammerman.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to sue us.
Yeah.
So it's a private communication. So so we got the gloves and the forceps and the mask, and we opened the letter on the air, disinfected it.
I remember.
Opened
that.
The letter.
Yeah, yeah.
And we made sure he had all our information so he could sue us properly.
Yeah.
But he never did.
No. You know what happened to Mason?
No.
Mason is in Los Angeles. He's a reporter for CanX.
Please don't talk about
that. I was driving through LA and I heard Mason Lewis come on. It was,
wow.
Anyway, so he's still in radio. He's still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about Peter Popoff? Do you want to talk about the Girl Scouts? We've only got 2 minutes left.
Why don't we save Peter Popoff for tomorrow, maybe.
We'll save him because that's rich.
It's rich.
It's rich in material.
He sent me this holy oil.
Yes.
Prosperity oil to put under my chair for 3 to 5 minutes. It says divine directions, warning, this is secret.
Uh-oh.
And just like Hammerman's letter was secret.
That's right.
Peter Popoff.
And you read it on the air.
And so we're
going
we'll
to get to Popoff.
Report on that.
But apparently, now we only got about a minute, but
the lesbians over at the
Girl
Scouts,
their membership has been dropping about 30%. Since in the last 10 years, they've dropped about 30%. And Breitbart is reporting this, asking if maybe it's the economy, maybe the instability in the economy. Now, of course, that doesn't go back 10 years, so I don't think that's an issue. But Breitbart also reports that the Girl Scouts, maybe it's their ties to Planned Parenthood. Their media spokesman, a guy named Josh Ackley, he's the lead singer of a self-described homo punk band. He's their spokesman.
Yeah.
He's still employed there to this day.
Well, yeah, but it makes sense that they'd have a woman as a spokesperson. So what's the problem there?
Well, yeah. Okay.
And they're pro homosexual, pro child killing, the Girl Scouts. That's why people, you know, look for other Christian
Yes, well,
venues.
the Girl Scouts designated pro-abort Texas gubernatorial candidate Wendy Davis as an incredible person who deserves to be voted Woman of the Year. On their Facebook page, they say former HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is a woman of courage. Mm. No wonder people are leaving the Girl Scouts. It's not just the economy, stupid.
Right.
It's the lesbians.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Girl Scouts. And, and the Boy Scouts have sort of are following suit. Because now they say homosexual juveniles could attend, which is an insult, just that phrase. And pretty soon it'll be homosexual scoutmasters.
Yeah.
And pretty soon it'll be the Catholic Church scandal. God bless you guys.